The Holy See Press Office held a briefing on Friday covering various issues. Father Thomas Rosica translated into English answers provided by the head of the press office, Father Federico Lombardi. Following is the English portions of the briefing, including one question answered by Father Lombardi in English.
Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, a word on yesterday, the experience we all had in watching the Holy Father celebrate his first concelebration in the Sistine Chapel. Very short, direct, spontaneous homily using those three themes of journeying or walking, building up, and also confessing or professing our faith. He spoke it with clarity and also with a great deal of strength and emotion and using gestures. A word on this style that's emerging, it requires from all of us that there's a cost to this style, and the cost is patience, because we don't have texts that are released in advance, and we don't have embargoed text. So we're trying our best to transcribe the texts as they are spoken and provide them to you as soon as we can. The same thing happened this morning, the text of the cardinals, the speech to the cardinals. He added all kinds of things as he was going along, so we'll try to incorporate those important points into the text and make them available to you. That's the cost of having such spontaneity and such openness and something new happening before us. I'd like to call your attention to a couple highlights of the homily or unique characteristics of Pope Francisco. This is of the talk this morning. So he addressed the cardinals as my brother cardinals, not my lord cardinals, as has been the tradition in the past. He referred to Cardinal Mejia, who suffered a heart attack and is in the hospital recovering, but he's not in a very bad state, thank God. Another point I'd like to draw your attention to is the references to the Holy Spirit, where he talks about the Holy Spirit as the one who brings about harmony in the midst of diversity. He also said that one could think of the Holy Spirit as an apostle who brings about Babel and confusion, that image from the book of Genesis. Rather, the Holy Spirit is also capable of bringing about unity from what may appear to be confusion. He quotes a German poet, "Es ist ruhig, das Alte und Fromm," which is this is now the time of tranquility and prayer, referring especially to that old age, the Vecchiaia. He put himself in that group, addressing a group that was not filled with young people. In the group that he addressed this morning, there was some smiles on people's faces as he said that. But he said, nevertheless, among us, these older folks, we have the gift of wisdom to transmit to a younger generation, and how important it is that we share this wisdom with young people. It's part of our mission if we are old. Some of the details of the Pope's daily activities at the Domus Sancta Marta, where he's still living, he'll arrive late in the dining room. People have already begun to eat, so he just goes around and finds a place that's available and sits down at the table to join the other cardinals who are having meals. There's no special place of honor for him. He's just at home among everybody with a great deal of normal, natural activity, behavior. This morning at the house at Santa Marta, he wanted to celebrate Mass at 7 o'clock in the chapel. When the cardinals knew this, several wanted to concelebrate with him, and they did. And he gave a little homily without any notes, just on the gospel of the day, this Lenten weekday. The director of Santa Marta used to be the director of Casa Paolo VI, the Casa del Clero in Villa La Scrofa. And the director told us this morning that yesterday, when the Pope went back to collect his luggage and belongings, and he paid the bill for his room, he also greeted all the personnel and the employees, because it's the house where he usually stayed when he came to visit Rome. It was extremely moving, because he greeted each of the staff, remembering their names. How is your wife? How's your daughter? How's your son? How's your family situation? And he described it. Everybody was crying as he did this. Some of you may have seen in the news a story that the nuncio received a phone call from the Pope telling the people of Argentina and the bishops not to come for the installation mass. So we called the nuncio, Archbishop Scherig, and in fact the story is true that the very night of the election, of Pope Francis's election, he phoned the apostolic nuncio in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, and said, look, tell the bishops to tell the people not to come. It's so expensive. Use that money you would have spent on travel for the poor. Find somebody there who needs the money and use it there. And it's very much in line with his life and his mission and what he did as archbishop. We need to respond in some way to some of the accusations against Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, that have surfaced or resurfaced in the papers again these days, referring to situations that took place a long time ago. And in response to them, we have prepared a statement, which I would like to read. Father Lombardi just read it, regarding the accusations against Cardinal Bergoglio in Argentina. The campaign against Bergoglio is well known and goes back to many years ago. It was carried forward or sustained by a publication that specializes in campaigns that are at times filled with lies, and they exist to defame others. They're defamatory campaigns. The anti-clerical purpose of this campaign and other campaigns or accusations against Bergoglio are well known, and they're very evident. The accusations refer to the time when Bergoglio was not yet bishop, but provincial superior of the Jesuits in Argentina, and involves two priests who were kidnapped, and it is said that Bergoglio did not protect them. That's the accusation. There has never been an accusation concrete or credible in his regard. Argentinian justice interrogated him several times. One time they interrogated him as a person who was informed of the facts, involved in the facts, but nothing was ever imputed against him. He denied in documented ways the accusations against him. There are also many declarations that show that when Bergoglio, or how Bergoglio tried to protect many people in his time during the military dictatorship period. His role is very clearly noted when he became bishop of how he promoted the whole cause of reconciliation in the Church of Argentina, and also the fact that he didn't do anything in his time against the dictatorship. The accusations belong in a certain way to a type of a historical sociological criticism of the period, of the dictatorial period, and also they reveal left-wing elements, anti-clerical elements that are used to attack the church. They must be firmly and clearly denied. The audience tomorrow is an audience with the Holy Father, not a press conference, so there's not a chance to ask the Pope questions. There'll be a representative group of people. We're working on some details now of providing some tickets so people can greet the Pope. If you have friends here that are also involved in communications or journalism and weren't necessarily accredited to this event, you may bring them with you, but keep in mind, don't invite the whole world because of the size of the room. But you're most welcome. It should be a very festive or joyous occasion. This is an important point regarding the foreign delegations that will be attending the inauguration of Petrine Ministry next Tuesday. If there are foreign delegations coming, no delegation is personally invited. The Vatican does not invite people. The Holy See does not send out personal invitations. It rather informs those governments through the diplomatic channels and the ambassador, if they have one here, that there is such a ceremony, whether it be the inauguration of ministry or the funeral of a pope or another ceremony, and it's up to the government to express a desire to come. It's important because we're often asked, did you invite such and such a government or such and such head of state to come? The church does not do that. The Vatican does not do that. It informs, it lets people know, and they're free to come. And this applies not only to the countries that have diplomatic relations, but to those who do not have diplomatic relations. The world is invited. No one has ever refused or prohibited. There's no triage that goes on and say, we want you, we don't want you. The funeral of John Paul II was a good example of that. We had such delegations from Somalia, from Afghanistan that came, and they don't have diplomatic relations. Afghanistan didn't at that time, and they were here. Now they do. The journalists are also gathered in the other room on Via Conciliazione. So one of the questions is regarding whether the Holy Father reconfirmed or reappointed the prefects to their positions. As you know, during the Sede Vacante, they cease their jobs, and there's a reappointment afterwards in many cases. We have no record of that that's been formally communicated to us yet. When we know that, we'll make it known to you. Amen. Just to summarize what Father said, in Piazza San Pietro for the Mass on Tuesday, we have special zones that are set up in order to accommodate various groups, for example, the heads of state or foreign delegations are in one area to provide easy access and to leave as well. We also have a section for the cardinals and for the priests. There's a section for the handicapped and the sick. We have to do that because even though we may have been accustomed to having a more freer access in our local cathedrals and our homelands and whatever, here it's a much bigger reality of tens of thousands of people. And so we have to make sure that there are ways of getting in and out and that we do host our guests in a particular way. And that's why we do this here. We're not expecting the creation of new dicasteries or departments in the near future. What we try to do is simplify things here. The newest dicastery is the dicastery on the promotion of the new evangelization created by Pope Benedict a few years ago. And as Father repeated, we don't yet have the confirmation or reconfirmation, reappointments of the heads of dicasteries. When we know that, we'll let you know that. There's no ceremony to reconfirm somebody. They simply go back to their office and pick up where they left off. This is a question coming from CNN in the other room. Is Pope Francis the 266th Pope or the 266th successor of Peter or the 267th Pope? Pope Francis is the 266th Pope, 266, and the 265th successor of Peter. And the reason why it's 265 is you have to leave Peter out. So to the Catholic Press Association asking the question about the motto of the Pope and also his coat of arms, we don't know that yet. We checked this morning and they still haven't done that. The second question here was about the Pope taking possession of his cathedral, which is St. John Lateran Basilica. And that will not happen until after Easter because of the shorter period of time. This means, however, that the Holy Thursday liturgy, the rite of the Mass of the Lord's Supper, which is normally celebrated at St. John Lateran, will not be held there this year because the Pope has not yet taken possession of the cathedral. The liturgy for Holy Thursday afternoon will be held in St. Peter's Basilica.
Nahid Abu Zaid, BBC World Service. Father Lombardi, would the Holy Father consider again, if possible, for tomorrow's speech, including in his address, some answers to a selection of pre-submitted questions through you? And would you be able to confirm the message on the yellow band wrist Cardinal Napier gave the Holy Father this morning?
The possibility of having a group of people submit questions for the Pope to answer tomorrow, it's not possible simply because of the volume and the number and the time. This is unlike a foreign trip when journalists are available to submit questions. So for this time, it's not possible. Regarding the bracelet that the Pope received from Cardinal Napier this morning, we saw this on television, and he put it on. Archbishop Ganswein helped him to put it on. We don't know anything about that. Regarding Pope Benedict taking possession of his new residence in the former convent, the construction folks told us last week that it'd probably be two more months, so probably the beginning of May, March and April, the beginning of May, when he would be able to move into that convent in the Vatican Gardens.
Post Gazette, please pardon a question in English. I wanted to know if there are any plans for Pope Francis to meet with representatives of other Christian traditions, the Protestant churches, the Orthodox. Also, yesterday in the Vatican Information Service, it said that he would meet on Wednesday with the representatives of the Eastern Catholic Churches. One of their archbishops told me he believed that was incorrect, so I wanted to find out what the correct situation was.
Yes, I have said already yesterday, I think, that for next Wednesday there will be no general audience as normal in Wednesday, because we will have already the big mass on Tuesday, and then there is no big sense to have again in the square another audience on the following day. And then on Wednesday, the Pope will meet the delegations of the other Christian churches, communities that are present for the inauguration mass. And then, yes, it is on the agenda of the Pope, this meeting, this greeting and thanks to the delegation that will come. There is not a specific list, only the Oriental, only the... No, there is... On the agenda is the delegation of the other Christian churches and communities that will be present. I don't know if this is already all, if there are also other delegation that comes and the Pope will greet, but in any case, on the agenda state is this audience for the delegations. This is all what we know. Then we will have a list and we will inform on Wednesday how many will be and how.
John Bingham from the Daily Telegraph. Will the new Pope Francis build on the work of his predecessor in working towards full sacramental unity with the worldwide Anglican Church?
Certainly, we have very good relations with the Anglican Church. That has been very evident with the relations most recently with Archbishop Rowan Williams, the former head of the Anglican Church who took part in the Synod. One can't help but think of the Pope Benedict's wonderful visit to England several years ago, and a visit especially to Westminster, and that will continue. We have no reason to think why that should go backward. It can only go forward.